section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Titles change hands on Raw. Jeff Hardy is coming back, and we have a live report from Raw in Chicago. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Bully Ray decided to tweet about Raw, which is interesting because he's with TNA. So what's going on with this, Aaron?
Well, you know, this past Raw was actually a really big one, so it doesn't surprise me that a lot of people in the wrestling world, you know, had composed tweets about it. But he did say something rather interesting, which is he insinuated that he might want to go back to WWE. Now, it wasn't that he didn't leave on the best of terms, but he's not as well liked backstage as like D-Von is, for example. So I wonder if he is trying to test the waters for a one last run with the WWE. I mean, is that what you see him doing?
I could see him doing it, but it's whether or not the WWE actually let him back in. I don't remember how they left. That's the one thing. I think that him and D-Von got a chance to go to TNA, or maybe their contracts were just up and then they went there. But I know that he's kind of he wants to be like a Triple H backstage, but he has to realize that now there's a pecking order backstage for WWE, and he won't get his way a lot of the time.
Yeah, and you know, he's old. He's 42 years old, which, I mean, that's not like old. But, you know, I mean, what's he going to do? He's going to go in there for 2 years, maybe? I mean, that's all that he really could do, potentially. And are they going to bill him as a top heel? You know, you gotta put a lot of stock behind that. So I don't know if they're going to do that. But, Andy, many within the WWE are saying that CM Punk, he's done. And you know, we're not going to talk about Raw this past week yet. But do you believe that CM Punk is done?
Like I said before, I believe he's done. I think that he said when he leaves, he's leaving for good. And he's always said that. And even he said his contract's up in July. When he's done, he's done. He won't do anything. I believe that's what will happen here. I think that CM Punk is done. We'll never see him on TV. He'll eventually come back. But they were saying the way that he is set up, like with him, the fact that he's not a spender, he's more of a saver, that he has saved a ton of money. And he's still also making all of his merchandise money too, that he from the WWE. Mm-hmm. And he's also going to get all the residuals from the network and anytime they have his name out there. So he will actually be well off. He doesn't have to ever do anything for wrestling again. And in fact, I bet the next time we see him is going to be at a Blackhawks game.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Well, actually, Andy, speaking of the Blackhawks,
yeah, we have our
very own Doug Hahn, who was actually at Raw this past Monday night.
But he was also, Doug, real quick, on Saturday. How was the Blackhawks game at Soldier Field?
Oh, it was amazing. The snow there was just, it added the extra excitement to the game. It wasn't until like the third period that we really were affected by the cold because the snow melted and then your clothes were just soaking wet and cold.
So you had a good weekend then. You started off with Blackhawks versus the Penguins with Sid, the whining kid. And then you had Monday, you went to Raw at the All-State Arena, which is in Rosemont, not Chicago, but whatever. But you were there, and what did you think?
I think it was a decent show. I was expecting a lot more, being one of the shows that are leading up to WrestleMania, and that one of the reasons why I got the ticket. Also, was really excited for a CM Punk. And then when CM Punk left, I was very devastated and actually was really on the verge of selling my ticket. It wasn't for the fact that I was kind of hoping that CM Punk would return and make that night so special, that I held on to my ticket and actually went. I was very, very surprised at the very, very beginning of it. The Paul Heyman segment, I absolutely adored and loved. I thought it got Raw off to a great start, but then it slowed down really quick, and I mean, the Shield Wyatt match was great. And then, I mean, in between the Shield Wyatt match and finally when Daniel Bryan came out, I almost fell asleep.
Now, wow. Doug, and let's talk about something that you had mentioned, which was that CM Punk was not there. Now, Paul Heyman came out. Now, when he came out, there were a lot of boos, it sounded like. Is that correct?
That would be correct. I think there's a mixed kind of feeling towards Paul. I am actually a Paul Heyman kind of guy. I like what he does. I appreciate what he does as a manager, and he really bridges that gap for Brock Lesnar. There are a lot of people that were booing, but then when they started feeling him out about what he was saying about CM Punk, a lot of people were cheering. And then you had the quick turnaround and saying, you know, oh, well, I'm out here to talk about Brock and do something Brock can do that CM Punk can't, which was great. And it helped build the feud for the Taker-Brock match.
Yeah, I agree. I actually liked the transition that he did. I was wondering where he was going with it. But I thought it was kind of interesting. Andy, did you like the bridge that he did for that segment?
I was surprised because I was working out and then I sent Doug a text message. Wow, because they played CM Punk's music. All right. Paul Heyman comes out. They talk about Brock Lesnar, does a good job of it. And then they continue. I thought that to make things short. Yes, the transition was perfect. And the crowd, you can just tell, was really hot. They wanted CM Punk there. But I believe that the WWE just buried CM Punk. I believe what they did was actually mean. But after seeing a lot of the tweets directed towards CM Punk, people called him a quitter. And I believe that you'll start to see things of like his merchandise slowly get first sale, you know, half off, 80% off. Or people will just stop buying it. To me, it's interesting that they went this route, but they basically said that he quit.
Now, Doug, one of the other really big things that happened was that the Usos defeated the New Age Outlaws to win the tag titles. What was the crowd like for that?
It was kind of funny. During that match, you guys didn't see this. I got a chance to catch a replay of Raw. And Road Dogg commented actually during the match after he tagged out about how the crowd sucked and it was no Brooklyn. And I mean, that really kind of got the crowd back into it. And I mean, he really got him to really put some heat on the what they called the Old Age Outlaws there. That kind of chant kind of got a little going. I don't think it got fully going. Big chant of boring, which I don't think got onto the show either, but huge. I mean, they sat around for like at least three minutes or maybe a whole commercial break just doing a hold. And it was like, wow, this is really, really boring. The match itself, not that great, but I think it had a great ending. Loved how it ended.
Doug, real quick, I want to point out that they're not called rest holds anymore. They're called transitional holds.
Oh, is that for commercial break then?
Matt Stryker said that. He goes, they're not rest holds. Okay. They're transitional holds. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Now, Andy, Usos winning the tag gold. I mean, was this a good time to do it or would you rather?
Well, the thing is, they were actually going to do this the night after Elimination Chamber. But I believe that they were smart and held out until Raw in Chicago because the title change, I think, changes people's mindset. They talk about it, even though CM Punk was still in their mind. They're like, wow, you know, the Usos finally won it after all this time. Congratulations to them. They will defend it at WrestleMania. I'll just say that. And I believe that they'll face the New Age Outlaws in the curtain jerker and win.
I think that you'll probably have a couple other people involved, though, too. I mean, you don't want to see that match. Was this going to be like the sixth time?
And well,
like
you could add the Rhodes, you know, but, and you could add Curtis Axel and Ryback or Ribback or whatever you want to call him.
Ribaxel.
Ribaxel.
Doug, there was something that really weird that happened. Seth Rollins kind of turned on the Shield during the Shield Wyatt match. What was the crowd's reaction, not only for the match, but for that little segment there?
Everybody was boosted for the match, and you can hear it even in the chants before the match even starts. I thought that this was kind of silly of the crowd, but they're already chanting, this is awesome. It's like they're just standing outside the ring and staring at each other. How is this awesome yet? I mean, the intensity, you could really feel it, and it was really great. I've loved the storyline so far between the Shield and the Wyatts, and the continuation, the match was excellent. I mean, like I said, this actually got me back up, got me going again, and really great match. I think Seth Rollins put on a great show to begin on. I mean, just started off that match with a high bang, and it kept going throughout the whole match. You know, you kind of saw a little bit of the punk or the punch of Rollins going and jumping off the edge, but all of it was a great storyline setup, great continuation of the storyline. Dean Ambrose, I thought he went over well, and I mean, I really would like to see a Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt match, because those two just kept going at it the whole time. And I mean, of course, everybody was rooting for Reigns to get in, and when he did, he brought the intensity up that much more.
Also, the high flyers they had with Rowan and Harper, wow. They both did some.
Yes.
And the thing is, that's stuff that they were doing in the indies for the longest time, and they're doing it now in the WWE. So hats off to them. They did an excellent job. That was a great match. Probably match of the night.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because anything Batista's in is, you know, under that.
Andy Rollins. I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, is he turning? Is he just kind of like fed up with everything that's going on? Where do you see this going?
I think it was a plan. I think the former,
well, obviously it was a plan.
Well, I think that Ambrose and Rollins planned this out. That's what I believe. I think that it's going to show that Ambrose and Rollins are going to somehow make Reigns leave the Shield. You know, the former NXT, you know, the first ever NXT champion and Ring of Honor champion, I believe that really Seth Rollins needs to be on his own. And same thing with Dean Ambrose. Both those guys, split them. All three of them, split them. Call it. I wish they would do a triple threat match between these guys at WrestleMania, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Or do a triple threat and then have Ambrose and Rollins beat up on Reigns the entire time.
All right. Now, Doug, Daniel Bryan, it sounded like he was way over with the Chicago crowd. Is that safe to say?
Oh, yeah. That was some of the loudest chants, I think, of the night was when he came out, all the yes chants. And when Triple H and Stephanie came out, I was very happy to see a replay of Raw, because I never heard a single word that Triple H said or Stephanie. In fact, I think WWE even somehow was able to take the crowd noise and lower it, because I mean, you really couldn't hear a single word they said in the crowd.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, as far as the heat with the Authority, I mean, that, you know, we could tell. I mean, it was deafening. How was it though for the final match with Bryan and Batista? At the end, Bryan gets buried pretty much. What was the crowd like with not only for that match, but for the ending?
For the ending, it wasn't, you know, I think everybody in the crowd, that's kind of an expected ending. You knew it wasn't going to be that much for Bryan. The CM Punk chance at the very, very end was really exciting. And I think that was one of the loudest CM Punk chants that was there. It was right there at the end when all three of them are standing over Bryan. But, you know, it was a horrible match. Honestly, there wasn't much to it. And what I found funny though, was a lot of the people yelling the no chant when Bryan was suggesting a Triple H WrestleMania match. But,
so, Doug, are you in the mindset then that, I mean, a match with Triple H is a very big match, but it sounds like you are of the mindset also where the being in the title match is actually a much bigger deal.
Being in the title match is a much bigger deal. I do agree with you saying the Triple H match is a big deal. I you know, and when CM Punk left because of him not being in the main event of WrestleMania, I thought, well, I mean, that kind of is a main event. I would love to go see CM Punk versus Triple H. I would love to see Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. However, I really think that this is the time that they need to put Daniel Bryan in that title match, which, you know, I still think, and there was a couple things I saw at Raw that I think Bryan beats Triple H and gets put in the title match at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that it could be a possibility we may see that going forward. As far as your experience in for this Raw in Chicago, you've been to quite a few. You've been to quite a few events, over the past couple of years. What was this event like versus some of the other Raws that you've been to?
Well, I haven't been to too many Raws in Chicago. I think I've just been to the Payback pay-per-view and the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
The Money in the Bank pay-per-view, though, has by far probably the top best thing I've seen live. Just all the hype that was going into that match between CM Punk and Cena. And I think Cena actually put on a great segment on Raw when he was talking about all the memories he's had in Allstate Arena. A lot of boos for him, but I still, appreciate everything. He is a entertainer himself. So, but Money in the Bank, by far the top notch, best thing I've seen there. Payback was very good. Raw, it was a better Raw than I think that I've mostly watched on TV. But it's still not anything close to the Raw 1000 I saw in St. Louis.
Understandable. Loudest pop of the night, what was it?
Oh, I'm going to have to say the Yes Chance for Daniel Bryan.
Which part?
Probably the part where he came out where he didn't actually fight. It was just him and talking to Triple H and Stephanie.
And who had the most heat?
Most heat has got to be Triple H or Stephanie, because, like I said, when they were talking, everybody was booing so loud or saying CM Punk. It was incredibly deafening in there.
And Doug, I gotta ask one last question for me. Before the end of the year, will we see CM Punk?
No, I agree with Andy, and I've heard him say it too at conventions and everything, that he said when he's done, he's done. He's going to go lock himself in a shed up in Montana or something and just stay there for the rest of his life. And as much as I would love to see CM Punk come back, I'm starting to agree with some of the other fans. He quit on the fans. He decided that he was done and he didn't want to be there anymore. And I don't think he'll ever come back.
Wow.
So, Andy, any other Doug, questions? Real quick, you were on Backstage Pass quite a bit. You were the guy that whenever they panned to A-Rod, you'd see a guy slowly move over for a photobomb with an orange hoodie on with his hat turned backwards. That was Doug. And he did it multiple times.
Yeah, that's me.
And Backstage Pass, you stood there multiple times. I want to point something out that I thought was really interesting. And you, I don't know if you noticed it, Doug, but they went really early live. As in, it's at least a minute, if not 2 minutes, they went live. Usually when NCIS ends on USA, they go right into Raw. This, they had a nice long preview, a 2 minute preview of this reality show that's coming out. I believe that they did that just in case something happened. They had that time frame to go back.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really, really interesting that they did that. And because when I talked to you, I was like, hey, Wave, you didn't even have your phone out yet.
Yeah, I don't even pick up my phone until after Backstage was actually off the air, or right before they're back or off the air. And because when you kept saying stand to the left, I was like, I'm pretty far gone. There is no left. There is no going back left. I'm staring right at whatever camera would be on, but no. Yeah, they probably had it delayed in case something happened. And there was actually one thing that happened. A couple of things I loved about being at the Raw instead of watching it on TV was when Brock Lesnar was tearing apart the announcer's table. He threw one of the monitors, and what you don't see on TV is he actually throws it so hard it hits the edge of the wrestling mat and then bounces into the crowd. Now, I don't think it took anybody out. They had security there within minutes. You can actually hear even a small chain of lawsuit going on. But it was very, very awesome being there and like seeing that, and just you get to see those experiences. And I know they broadcast was it Superstars later on this week or today?
On Thursday or Wednesdays or Thursdays, I can't remember.
Wednesdays or Thursday. Okay, well, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing it just because during the Ryback match, you can hear CM Punk chant going on, and he just turns to the crowd and just keeps yelling, "He quit."
That's awesome. So yeah, so thanks for coming on the show, Doug, and talking about your experience at Raw.
Thanks for having me. Can't wait to do it again.
All right, so let's thank our sponsor. HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off The Mark page and click at the banner at the top of the page, and you'll save big on items at WWEShop.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So Will-O-The-Wisp from Omega Wrestling is going to be returning. Oh, I'm sorry. Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy
is returning, and he's going to join MVP. So I'm kind of excited to see Hardy back, but he's going to be doing the Will-O-The-Wisp character.
Yeah. You know, the promo they ran last week in particular made me go, huh? And I think this might be an example where they gave Hardy a little too much creative freedom. That might be the only thing I'm a little worried about. You know, he incorporates some of his music into who he is. You know, he had his own custom belt. I think that this might be an example of they might give him a little bit too much of a leash, because right now I'm not excited for this Will-O-The-Wisp character. It doesn't really do anything for me. I don't think it's going to be anything really spectacular. I like Jeff Hardy just as he is. I mean, he is a person who sells tickets. This Will-O-The-Wisp, I don't know. I don't know if it's for me.
Well, I guess it's just going to be a wait and see for you. But I liked the character beforehand, and I think it's great that it's going to be on mainstream TV. But I think they allowed him to do it because he didn't want to be himself anymore. He wants to be a true character, not and have Jeff Hardy be the dad at home and Will-O-The-Wisp the character on Impact. So are you excited for Kurt Angle facing EC3 at Lockdown?
I think this is too soon. I think that I think EC3 has a very bright future with Impact, and I think that he is going to do wonders for them. I think that he's going to be a really good heel. He'll be a top heel. I don't think that he should be taking on Angle this quickly, though. I think that he needs to be built up over a period of years. Look at Magnus. Magnus has been there for, what, 4 or 5 years, right? You know, maybe even longer. But he was built up. And yes, over the past couple of years, they really were kind of pushing him a lot. And EC3 pretty much just started off at the top. And I think that's actually kind of a bad move. I think that you could have this a little bit later on. But the only way I could say that this would be redeeming is if Angle does win at Lockdown.
Yeah, I don't think that you have Angle put over EC3 this early. It's just too soon. So Bully gets involved during the Magnus and Samoa Joe promo, and then the surprising turn of events. Bully puts Samoa Joe through the table. So is Bully going to be a part of Team Dixie Carter?
Maybe. You know, I wonder what they're going to be doing with him. We had talked about him, of course, earlier, and, you know, him maybe going back to WWE. I want to know what they do with him. You know, he had his little angle with Anderson over the end of the Aces and Eights. And where do you put him from here? You know, do you have him involved in the title picture? I mean, he just lost the title. You know, you should probably give it to somebody else and let them hold on to it for a while. I don't think that he's somebody that should be up there yet. But do you put him? Who do you put him with, though? You know, you can't put him with Anderson. Sting's not there anymore. AJ Styles isn't there anymore. Do you put him against Hardy? Do you put him against Joe after Joe loses at Lockdown? You know, what do you do with him?
I think he's going to have to do a program with Samoa Joe to end his time with TNA, because his contract is up. If I'm correct, it's June. It's June or July. It's right around the time Devon left and Bully had one more year left on his. So I'm assuming that Bully's done. He's going to put over a couple guys and then he's going to knock, knock, knock on the WWE's door. And I believe that he'll get hired back, but I believe it won't be for what he wants. I think they're going to hire him back to do ECW stuff for the WWE Network.
Yeah, could be. I think he could still have a 1 or 2 year run with WWE, but you know, we'll see if that's the case. As for TNA, I think that, you know, if you put him in a program with Samoa Joe for like 2-3 months, I think it could be a good moneymaker for him. Now, Andy, lockdown's this Sunday. Are you excited for it?
No. I could care less.
I mean, it's a pay-per-view. We haven't seen a TNA pay-per-view since October.
It's been that long?
Yeah. TNA has not had a real pay-per-view since October. And it's also not on the network. This is one you have to actually pay for.
Oh, geez.
I know, right?
It's going to be weird.
Yeah, that's why I said.
It's going to be weird actually paying for a pay-per-view since we don't have to do any more with the WWE. But the weird part about this is that lockdown is this Sunday, and then in 7 weeks, Sacrifice happens. You just went almost, what, 5 months without a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, hey, by the way, we're going to run a couple pay-per-views pretty much back-to-back. That makes no sense to me, but, you know, whatever. I'm not running TNA. I could have been sold to Toby Keith and Jeff Jarrett, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I think that – so Genesis was their January pay-per-view, and I think that they took a look at the numbers and said, you know what? When are we going to do it in January? That's when the NFL playoffs are. And then in between the playoffs and the Super Bowl, you have Royal Rumble. You know, and WWE has already booked that spot. It's that way every single year. So when can TNA do Genesis? Let's be honest here. They can't. They really can't.
No.
So do you have a December pay-per-view, which is historically really low? Probably not. Instead, you could do a November one. You know, maybe you have Bound for Glory at the very beginning of October and have a pay-per-view at the very end of November. You could potentially do that, which is – a lot of times a good moneymaker. That's where Starrcade used to be for NWA. You could do that. But realistically, I mean, you know, February is going to be the next time to do it. And since they already had lockdown scheduled for March, I think that's why it was. Sacrifice being 7 weeks away, I'm okay with. I like having a long buildup to pay-per-views, you know, do 8 weeks or so. I think that's really smart. But I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with it. I don't think that's a big deal for Sacrifice to be 7 weeks away.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a wait and see thing. I mean, it just seems so soon. You know what I mean?
Well, like, it only seems soon because it was 5 months without a pay-per-view.
Right. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, by the way, we're going to do another one in 7 weeks. So, oh, well.
Yeah.
Whatever. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.